Continue to pray, God, today as we come to you and come into your presence, and as we've sung praises to you, God, it's all we can do in response to all that you have done for us. And I pray that as we look now at your word, we pray that we would see Jesus Christ for who he is as we look at this passage together. And we pray that you would speak powerfully to each one of us. Meet us where we are, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible with you, I invite you to turn to John chapter 4, starting at verse 46 is what we're going to be looking at today. John 4, 46 through 54. Says, so he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. Last Sunday, right before the message, we sang a song. It was an old hymn. Some of you might have been familiar with it. It was called, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And the words to the song, and I've just kind of tweaked the wording just slightly, so that's kind of more in modern language, but it says, "'It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus says the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more." Now, I want to ask a question, a rhetorical question, but when you sing those words, especially those words, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him over and over, do you believe it? Can you sing that confidently? Can you confidently say, Jesus, I take you at your word? What you say, whatever you say, I believe it. Do you truly rest upon his promises? And maybe, I know for me, that last line is kind of my consolation to that. You know, we do confess, yes, Jesus, we trust in you, we take you at your word. But then that last line is so beautiful. It says, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. That's where I often land, is yes, I do believe you, but like that man said to Jesus in another passage, I believe, but help my unbelief, because our faith can waver, can't it? And no matter how confident your faith is, no matter how you've seen God work over and over again in your life, we still need that grace to trust him more, that he'll do it again, to trust him with our future. And that's what we see today in this passage that we just read. We're taking a look here at the seven signs recorded in the book of John. They're listed up here on the screen. Now, these are not the only miracles that John records. There's all sorts of things that Jesus did that were miraculous. But these seven passages, these seven recordings of what Jesus, or sorry, what John wrote down, these are specifically what he considers signs. And those signs, like we talked about last week, point to something. And what these signs, these miracles point to, what they were meant to do, what Jesus' purpose was in those, was to bring people to faith and trust in him. And to increase our faith and to increase our trust in him. And in this sign or this miracle that we're looking at today, the miraculous healing of this official's son, this man learns that Jesus is not just simply about performing miracles. That Jesus, that was not his goal, just to go out and perform these amazing miracles and to wow people. You know, that people would just simply be amazed at him. That did happen, obviously. Anytime you'd see a miracle, you're wowed, you're amazed. But that was not Jesus' purpose in performing these miracles. Because see, Jesus continually is seeking people's whose heart, people whose hearts are completely his, that are completely trusting in him and taking him at his word. And what we see here at the end of this story that we read is that Jesus did heal this man's son. He got better. He recovered miraculously. But what's interesting is that this man didn't even see the miracle happen before his eyes, did he? The people that were there with his son obviously would have noticed it and seen something miraculous. But this man, when he came in his request, he didn't even get to see the miracle happen. But in the process, what do we see about his faith? About this man's faith? That his faith was transformed. He comes to simply take Jesus, trust him at his word. And so for us today, what I want us to see, I want us to see what happens when we do the same. When we simply take Jesus at his word. And there's two things that we'll see. The first is that we find more than we think we need. That's what happened for this man. When he came to Jesus, he found more than he thought he needed. Now, we have limited information about this guy. It simply says that he is an official. And it's suspected that he was somehow connected with King Herod Agrippa. We don't know that for sure, but he was an important guy. He was a big deal. And he comes to Jesus with what seems like to us just a simple request. You know, when we read through it, we think, okay, a simple, straightforward request. Comes verse 47. Jesus, would you come heal my son, for he is at the point of death. Seems simple, but let's take a moment and put ourselves in this man's shoes. He'd obviously traveled pretty far to come and see Jesus. It says, we know from the text, that he came from Capernaum to Cana, which is about 16 and a half miles. Now, I've got a map up here that shows that. You see that up at the top, the arrow kind of pointing up and over to the right. That's the distance from Cana to Capernaum. Now, it doesn't look that far on a map. And for us, it'd be like going from here to Santa Paula, maybe, or from here to Ventura. And in our minds, it doesn't seem like that far, but you got to factor in the modes of transportation that they had, and it was probably going through the hills and the valleys, and imagine walking. Imagine having to walk from here over to Santa Paula. And so that was probably pretty similar to what it was like. So he had traveled a distance, probably sleep-deprived. I mean, think about it. His son is at home on his deathbed, and those of you who have been through experiences like that know that it's a season where probably the whole family is stressed out, emotionally drained, probably sleep-deprived. This man came to Jesus desperate. He was desperate. The other reason we know that is he himself came. If he's so important, if he's some official, Why didn't he send one of his servants? Well, his son was at the point of death. He had no other choice. He's like, I've got to go. I'm an important guy. Maybe Jesus will listen to me. And maybe Jesus will heed my request to come. This man comes and he's desperate. He's desperate. And imagine the sense of anxiety that he was feeling. Son's about to die. Comes, Jesus, Jesus, would you just come? And you would think, if we know anything about Jesus, we know about Jesus' character. Jesus wants to hear us, right? You would think that Jesus would sense the desperation in this man's voice and see it on his face and drop everything and go with him. But he doesn't. Instead, look at verse 48. What does Jesus say to him instead? Imagine this. It says, so Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. What? And doesn't that sound kind of like a slap in the face to this man? I don't know. How would you feel? You come in your desperation to Jesus and he just said, do you really believe? You just want to see some amazing thing that I can do. But what we have to know here, it's very important in understanding this phrase, the sentence, is while it was probably partially true that maybe this man thought, I've got to see something amazing happen from Jesus in order to believe him. He wasn't just talking to this man. When Jesus says, unless you, he's saying you all. In the original language, it's plural. He's speaking to a group of people. It says, unless you all see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And that was true. The people had heard about what Jesus was able to do, and they had flocked to him. Many probably wanted to come out to see him, to see his show, to see him put on his show. But what about this man? Well, he did specifically ask Jesus to come with him. Okay, we know that. That was a specific request. He asked him to come with him to heal his son, implying, I believe you can heal him, and he probably just naturally thought this, but I believe you can heal him, but you got to come with me. But Jesus wants to do something in this man's life. He wants to work a different kind of faith in this man. And so the man persists. It doesn't stop him from asking. He's desperate. So he begs. He says, sir, come down. Come down before my child dies. And then what does Jesus do? Does he grant the request? Does he give exactly what this man's asking for? No. But you know what? He actually gives him something far better. So the man doesn't actually know it yet. But he gives him something far better. Something that doesn't even require Jesus to make that long trip back. He gives him his word. Jesus gives the man this word. The man didn't know it yet, but instant healing. Because when Jesus said it, which we know at the end of the story, when Jesus said it, it happened. The son got better at that very moment. The man didn't know it yet, but he was receiving something even better than Jesus having to go with him and to travel that distance back to his home. Probably would have taken all day or maybe 2 days to get back. But Jesus gave him his word. And Jesus keeps his word. And we can trust his word, what we see in this. And what that man needed was not to be amazed or wowed by Jesus. He needed true faith to trust in Jesus. Not just what Jesus could do, not just in Jesus' miracles, but to come to faith and trust in who Jesus was, that he was God himself. And because of who Jesus is, he can trust him and he can believe him. Chuck Swindoll tells a story of a man who was lost in the desert, and he was weak from lack of water as he was traveling through the desert. He was literally dying of thirst, and he happened to come upon this shack out in the desert and went in, and he found some shade and was protected from that hot, scorching sun. And as he was in this shack, he looked over and he saw a water pump, one of those old-fashioned water pumps that you gotta move up and down. And so he went over to the water pump and started pumping the handle, pumping back and forth, up and down, and nothing came out. And so he stood back from the water pump in discouragement and disappointment. But then he noticed, right off to the side, he saw an old bottle that was sitting there. And so he picked up the bottle, and there was something in it. There was some liquid inside. And so he wiped away the dirt and the dust, and there was a message on it. And on this bottle, it said, "You have to prime the pump with the water in this bottle." And then it said, "P.S. Be sure to fill the bottle again before you leave." And so he took the cork off the bottle, and sure enough, the bottle was full of water. But suddenly, he was faced with a life-changing decision. See, if he drank the water, he could live, but there would be no more water for anyone else to drink, the next weary traveler that came along. But if he poured the water into the old rusty pump, maybe, it would bring an abundance of water, of cool, fresh water from deep down in the well. Or maybe it wouldn't. Would it really? So he thought about his two options, and he could drink the water and live and be fine, or he could pour it all into the pump, hoping that it would provide a generous supply for him and for the next travelers. And so reluctantly he decided, he said, "I'm going to pour it into the pump." And so he grabbed the handle and began to pump, squeak, 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 and nothing came out. Squeak, squeak, pumped a little more, and a little bit began to dribble out. And he pumped some more, and pretty soon a whole gush of cool, fresh water came out of the pump. And so he filled up his jar, and he drank from that jar, refreshed himself. He filled it up again, drank some more, and then he remembered, "I've got to fill it up again and then leave it here." So he filled it all the way to the top, and he put the cork back on the bottle, and he added one thing to the note. He said, "Believe me, it really works." Often we think that we need a miracle. I think we can probably all think of the miracle maybe that we need in our lives right now in whatever situation we're facing. We need a sign or a wonder from God. But God is working in us to create a stronger, truer faith. A faith that just simply trusts Jesus, takes him at his word. A faith that trusts that he knows what we need in any situation. He knows better. And maybe he's working that kind of faith in you, creating a stronger, deeper faith. Maybe he's making your faith a faith that is more dependent upon him. And it can be easy to look at a story like the story of this official and his son, and look at that story and say, "Okay, well, what did Jesus tell that man? He said, 'Go, your son will live.' And he was healed, right? That's what happened. And so, Jesus, could you just step into my life and do the same thing? But what we have to know and understand is that God has a story that he's writing for each one of us that ultimately works out for his glory and for our good to work in us and to cause us to come to him in dependence and in faith and to stand upon his promises. And it's important to note here in this story that what Jesus said to this man, it was true, right? To go, your son will live. It was true. It was true in that moment. And it was true for that man. It was true for his son. And sometimes what we think is we can look at an example in Scripture and think, oh, Jesus will just do the same thing for me, right? He said it to that man. But what we have to know and the faith that we must stand on is that what God says to us is true. What he specifically says to us is true. What he specifically said to this man was true. And it came to pass. It happened. But God works differently in every situation. And what he wants us to know and trust him in is the timeless truth, the timeless promises about him and about his character, that he is good, that we can trust him. Now, if God has specifically said something to you to rescue you in a situation, and that comes to pass, praise him for that. But sometimes it doesn't happen. And so then what? Can we still trust him? Are his promises still true? Can we still take him at his word? For the official in this story, he needed to experience a true faith, a real faith that trusted in Jesus. First of all, for eternal life. That was what Jesus was more concerned about with this man. And then, as we'll see, what that faith worked into, what that faith produced, that his whole family would come to believe. Because the second thing that happens when we take Jesus at his word is that our fear is swallowed up by the fulfillment of God's promise. What does that mean? How do we see that in the story? Well, the man goes on his way in trust. Now, again, put yourself in his shoes. How would you have walked away from Jesus? You come with this request, come with me, so that I can see this miracle happen. Jesus says, just go on your way. Your son will live. Now remember, he didn't have any evidence, did he? He had to go on his way. Don't you wonder what he was thinking? Was he at peace? Was he fearful? Was he anxious? Okay, I'll go back. I mean, that's a long trip to make, isn't it? Wondering, okay, how's all this going to work out? Was Jesus telling the truth? So his servants come to meet him, and along the way, and they meet him, and they give him the good news. His son's recovered. Obviously, it was a miracle. It was obviously a miracle because otherwise they wouldn't have sent servants to go tell him. If they thought, well, he's getting a little better, but we don't know if he'll take another turn backwards. He was obviously recovered. Or so far, they had seen a drastic change in his health. So they said, go and meet him and tell him that he's recovered. In verse 52, it says, so he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Remember, that was the exact moment, the exact time that Jesus said those words, "Go, your son will live." And then we see even more beautiful words, in my opinion, as we read on verse 53. The father knew. He knew it was at that time. And it says, note this, it says, "And he himself believed, and all his household." That's an even more beautiful part of this story, is that he then comes to know truly who Jesus is. Now, he took Jesus' word earlier on when he left, but we don't know if that was true faith or not. Did he actually trust in Jesus and trust in Jesus for who he said he is? Trust in Jesus as the Savior of the world? We don't know, but what we know is that Jesus made this happen, fulfilled this promise, and this man came to believe and trust in who Jesus is. And not only him, but his whole household, it says. There are probably miracles that each one of us would love to see in our lives. I'm sure that we can all think of something that we're facing, whether you're desperate like this man was, or maybe it's just something that's an annoyance to you that you just wish would go away, something, some situation that would be just to be resolved. And maybe you need a miracle. What are the miracles that we could long for? Are we long for a cure for cancer? Or, "Jesus, would you do a miracle and reach into the heart of my rebellious child? Jesus, would you do a miracle in my marriage? Jesus, I need miraculous provision of money in this season of my life." Whatever it might be, you know where you could use a miracle. But today, I don't want to give us false hope that we're going to walk out and our situations just are automatically going to become better, or that we're going to see a sign tomorrow or the next day. Can God do it? Absolutely. Does he have the power to do that? He absolutely does. But I want us instead to walk out of here expecting that what Jesus has said to us, what God has said to us, what his promises are to us, are true, so that we can go on believing from here. And Scripture is full of promises of God that we can stand on. We can take God at his word, and we could be here for days looking at promises that apply to every single one of us that are true. But I want to leave you today with three promises, and you've probably all heard them, but these are promises that we need to have with us every day. Daily promises, three promises that God wants you to trust daily. That he says these things and you can go just as that man did, trusting that his promises are sure, his promises are true. And the first is that he loves you unconditionally. His love for you is not dependent on how good of a person you think you are today, or yesterday, or how good of a person you think you'll be tomorrow. His forgiveness is free and for all people. I love this verse, Romans 8, 38, 39. It leaves no doubt for us. It says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. He lists all these things: death or life, angels, demons, And just to be safe, he says, nor nothing, nothing in all creation can separate us from his love. So he loves you unconditionally. Second, you are never alone. Whatever challenges you're facing, and no matter how much you might feel abandoned, maybe even feeling abandoned by God, what's the truth? God is always with you. There's many verses that say that, but Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And in our lives, sometimes we can ask the question, why, God? Why? Why did this happen? Why is this happening? And it's a valid question, and sometimes we need to just ask it, and sometimes even if we don't get an answer. But one thing we do know is where God is. Where is God in it? He is right there with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And third and finally, you have the power of Christ in you. As a believer in Jesus, his power lives inside of you. Do you walk each day grasping that truth? The Bible says that even the resurrection power of Jesus Christ lives in us. And how that plays out practically, I don't always know. But I can wake up each day knowing the power of Jesus is in me. And because of that, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And often people hear, I can do all things. But that's not the whole truth. The only reason we can face everything, face anything that comes our way, is because of him who strengthens us, because of his power at work in us. And so, do you take God at his word today? Go forth today as this man did, believing. Why? Because he said it. Because we can trust his word, trust his promise. Let's pray. Thank you, God, as we sang earlier, that your promises are yes and amen. Help us to go forth today walking in these promises that we just reviewed, and each day that as we would open your word and read about more promises, that we would walk in your goodness and your grace. Increase our trust. As that song says, oh, for grace to trust him more. That is our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.